Michigan's failing schools will be expanding future turnaround efforts by collaborating with various partners, not just the state's disputed Education Achievement Authority. That became clear on Wednesday when State School Superintendent Michael Flanagan informed the EAA its exclusive contract to oversee turnarounds will end in a year. Flanagan's decision comes amid a pointed debate over the EAA's performance since it took control of 15 of Michigan's worst-performing schools in 2012. Now, some EAA supporters admit the authority is off to an imperfect start, but say that its work needs to continue. More vigorous supporters, mostly Republicans, want to expand the EAA from 15 schools in Detroit to dozens more statewide. Critics, which include Democrats and some Republicans, cite a number of concerns, including a lack of transparency in data and administrative chaos. For his perspective on the EAA discussion, we welcome back to Current State the president of the Michigan State Board of Education, John Austin. Hi, John.
Hi, Mark.
The State Board in January announced its support for a turnaround framework that would include more than just the EAA. Did it surprise you that Superintendent Flanagan took this action?
No, this was actually we're consistent with what we were recommending as a board and what we had agreed with Mike Flanagan, our superintendent, made sense. We want to have effective school turnaround efforts. We do have a set of schools that, despite interventions and technical assistance, just aren't making headway and kids aren't learning. But we want to have a quality control, meaning we want educational entities that are effective at turning around schools or have a good track record of educating kids and create some additional options of who those folks might be. So what we were calling for was let's set some clear criteria that we can set for what kind of educational entities, whether it's an ISD, neighboring school district, another public school or public entity, could be a nonprofit or a good charter network, those entities might qualify to absorb some of these failing schools and do a good job with them. And we want it based on whether they have a good track record and whether they have a likely prospects that they're going to be effective. And that then is governs what our perspective on the EAA. The EAA, as you know, got off to a rocky start and lots of debate about its effectiveness and clearly is not ready for expansion now. It still may prove itself to improve education and outcomes for kids, but what we're basically saying and what Mike's action helped implement was let's give it some more time to see if it's working or not, and if it's not working, it shouldn't get any more schools. If it proves to be working after another year, it might be a candidate for additional schools when it's ready and when it's got its act together.
Why is it not ready for expansion now?
Well, because I think you've seen, and we've seen, lots of both issues and concerns about transparency, about teacher and staff turnover, about I'm not as concerned about the learning model. I think they're trying to implement a decent learning program of individualized instruction. These schools are hard to intervene in and be effective in. They were really among the most challenged, chaotic learning environments. The EAA, as it has gone to work in some schools, I think in some places, as I've heard, they're making some headway, and others, there's been a host of problems and turnover and issues of whether they're channeling, you know, not treating special ed kids and sending them out, and lots of, obviously, complaints from some of the teachers. They did bring in, I think, a little too heavy Teach for America students to rely on those young people, which is different and perhaps not as effective as helping existing teachers be part of a collaborative turnaround effort. So it's a work in progress, clearly, and it may not work. But we don't know what works, and we're not alone. Other states with turnaround districts, whether it's the one in New Orleans that a lot of people talk about or others, it's a mixed bag because it's really hard to take a school and turn it around and create the kind of learning environment where kids are succeeding. If it was easy, we'd have that silver bullet, but we don't.
Chancellor Covington denied Superintendent Flanagan's request to terminate the contract immediately. So it's on hold for 1 year. What's happening there? Why wouldn't Dr. Covington agree to terminate the contract immediately?
Well, I don't know why he responded that way. I do know that I think everybody, including those of us who would like to help with the EAA to succeed, and it may not be possible, but we would like to help it to be successful, just as we'd like all of our school turnaround efforts to be successful, would agree that it's not ready to take more schools. And so everybody is happy, I think, to not place any more schools in with the EAA, I would imagine, including the EAA, because they need more time to show that what they're doing is effective and to simmer down, if they can, some of the controversies and to prove that they're operating clearly, transparently, with good information coming out, working collaboratively with their teachers. If that proves not to be possible or just doesn't happen, then, you know, this is a failed experiment. But as I said, no school turnaround effort or learning program is easy, and I think, you know, from our point of view, the jury's still out on whether the EAA can succeed or not. And that's basically what you referenced in terms of our encouragement to legislature was help us get some more options that are going to be of quality, that have a good chance or a good record of school turnaround, including other educational entities, so that we can move more schools into the hands of institutions and efforts that are likely to succeed. And let's let the EAA cool its jets for a while and get out of the spotlight, in the sense of get down to seeing if they can help the kids learn and make progress and report back in a year.
We're talking with the president of the State Board of Education, John Austin, about the Education Achievement Authority. John, contractually, though, how much control does the EAA have over school reform?
Well, when it was created last year, the superintendent entered into that agreement, assuming it would be the vehicle for beginning to take failing schools and turn them around.
How did you feel about that?
Well, at that time, I was probably not as happy as I would have been if we'd done what we should have done then, which is put some criteria out there for a variety of educational entities that are candidates for school turnaround. And partly we want to prevent more failing schools be turned over, as was the case when the financial crisis hit Highland Park, to charter operators who don't necessarily have a good track record of educating kids, like the Leona Group.
So right now, John, the EAA has total control over.
Well, with this agreement, with this contract agreement that was made between the superintendent and the EAA rescinded, that will allow us to place other entities. And our superintendent, under the law, the school reform office has the ability to place schools with other educational entities, and we just need to make sure that we're not placing more schools with the EAA till it proves itself. And I think that's what, in fact, is going to be accomplished by this, and we're going to see some other entities be able to begin to work with failing schools and hopefully do so in a way that's successful. But there's no guarantees. I mean, these are schools that are hard to turn around, and some of them probably should be shut down and replaced with a new school that is off to a fresh start. And that's something we've got to be serious about in Michigan.
That contract, though, was for 15 years. Given the doubts about the EAA, was the 15-year contract? How did such a long contract get signed that involved such an untested kind of entity?
Well, part of the problem from the get-go was that a well-intentioned EAA, a school turnaround district, which we need, that is going to work with schools, looked to be codified, to change it from this rather, it's a formal agreement, but sort of informal status of a relationship between Eastern Michigan and the schools, and put into legislation what this school turnaround district would look like. When that legislation was proposed in lame duck legislature last year, it wasn't only about taking 15 schools and turning them around or replacing them. The original legislation had all sorts of additional pieces of new school creation. It wanted the EAA to be able to authorize schools anywhere in the state, not just to replace failing schools. It added the EAA as a sort of a warehouse for lots of school buildings that would be turned over to new school operators, for-profit companies, if other legislation that was tied to was going to pass. So it got tied up in a knot and compromised at the beginning, which began to kind of let the cannon fire rain on it, even before it even got started, and deservedly so, because it shouldn't have been tied up in a new school creation plan.
We're nearing the end of the segment. There's one more question I really want to ask. What metrics do you think should be used to assess the EAA's effectiveness?
The same metrics we use for assessing all our schools. Are the kids learning and hitting the marks and making growth on our assessments to meet our standards? And are they moving forward and graduating? We have to use the same standards, the same yardstick to all schools, traditional public charters, cyber, and any that are in an EAA, even as they try to do some good new things like do self-paced learning, which is something all our schools need to help. We need to help them do.
Great discussion. We want to thank our guest, the president of the Michigan State Board of Education, John Austin. John, many thanks.
Thank you, Mark.